The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
You ready to receive something today from the Lord? Why don't you get your Bible out? Open it up to Proverbs chapter 10. Now, I got two Bibles up here today, so it might take me a minute to find some of the stuff. One of them is my Passion Translation Bible. Proverbs 10, and we're going to simply look at verse 5. Let's go with the NIV first. NIV, he who gathers crops in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. What is this scripture actually talking about? Talking about the harvest time. It's talking when it's time for harvest. Watch how amazing the Passion Translation brings this out. It says this. It says, know the importance of the season that you are in. I want you to chew on that for just a minute. Know the importance of the season that you are in. How many of you know that seasons change? Yeah, we live in Oklahoma. You wake up in the morning, it's winter. About 10:30 in the morning, it's spring. About in the afternoon, it's summer. And then by the evening, it's fall. All four seasons in one day. Seasons change. And not just the earthly weather seasons. Seasons change. I believe there's not probably a human on the planet that hasn't realized that there's come great change to the world we live in the past few years, especially since that outbreak of whatever it was that broke out, wherever it broke out from. I can assure you one thing, I don't have enough faith to believe that people didn't have their hand in it. I don't have the faith to believe that this thing just happened all by itself because science proves otherwise. See, what are you saying? I believe that what they have called a pandemic has actually been a plandemic. That it was literally planned, and there's evidence to prove it. There were people talking about this thing years before it happened. I want to say this to you more than anything else. When you know the importance of the season you're in, you realize this. You are living in a season that the Bible calls the last days. Now, don't get too worried over that, because we've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. But those were the beginning of the last days. And the evidence of things that go on in our world today look like that we are edging ever closer and closer and closer to the end of the last day. You see, what does that mean? Does that mean that the world's going to blow up and we're all going to die? No, that's not the way the Bible describes things in the end times. But it says this, know the importance of the season that you're living in and what a wise son you'll be. But what a waste when you're incompetent, child, and you sleep through your day of opportunity. You know what happened when what they planned for evil? If you know your Old Testament Bible, there was a man named Joseph. He got a coat of many colors. He was the one who had the dreams that came from God. He was favored. His brothers hated him. They decided one day that one of them decided, let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. I'm tired of him getting all the attention. Let's just kill him. Let's just get rid of him. Other brother rose up. So we can't kill our own brother. Let's sell him as a slave. I'm like, wow, I'm glad I wasn't born in that family. That's a tough neighborhood right there. They meant it for evil. They were doing it all out of selfish purposes because they were deceived. You could say it this way. They had an agenda that was not God's agenda, or so it seemed. I'm going to let that soak in for just a second. I'll say it again. They had an agenda that was not God's agenda, or so it seemed. They sold their brother Joseph into slavery. He was carted off to Egypt and sold there to a man who was captain of the guard for the Pharaoh. Because of the favor on Joseph's life, he excelled and he became the master of the whole household. Nothing was withheld from him. He lived in a rich man's house, eating a rich man's food, wearing rich man clothes. But the rich man had a wife who had a wicked heart. She was drawn to him and she wanted to entice him literally to have an affair with her. But he was a righteous man. He knew in his heart that God said no to that. I'm not going to do that. And besides all that, your husband, my master, he's been good to me. He don't withhold anything from me at all, except for you, which he should. And day after day, she would come at him and try to get at him, and day after day, he would shut her down. One day, she was so tired of being shut down that he was in a room and no one else was around, and she grabbed him by his robe and tried to pull it off of him, tried to force him. Well, he fled out of the room, and she was left there holding his robe. So when the people came back in, she worked up her fake tears. She put on her theater. In other words, she began to put forth some news. It wasn't exactly accurate. Her news report went this way. That Hebrew slave tried to rape me, because that fit her narrative. Wasn't even close to true. Actually, it was exactly the opposite of true, wasn't it? Because Joseph was just simply resisting. He said, it's not right. It's not right on behalf of my commitment to God. It's not right on behalf of your husband. He kept pushing her away. She made up a big lie, tried to destroy him. In other words, she had an agenda that wasn't God's agenda, or so it seemed. Well, when she cried rape, her husband came back. Now, I want to tell you something about her husband. Her husband is literally the commander of the captain of the guard, the bodyguards of Pharaoh. He's a military man. And as such, he would have been the one that when Pharaoh said, those people are upsetting me, will you execute them? Potiphar would have been the one who oversaw that. He would have overseen executions all the time. So here, he comes back home and here's his wife sobbing on the side of the bed saying, your Hebrew slave tried to rape me. She lied, didn't she? Don't believe everything you read on the internet. You sure don't want to believe what you hear in the lamestream media while they're propagating the fake news. You need to check the sources. I don't care what you're listening to, check sources. And I'm going to tell you where the source is that you can always get the truth from. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 12, he said, I have more to say to you than you can now bear. And I could sure relate to that. He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you unto all truth. If there's ever been a season in which we needed to hear and discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, it is now. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into what? What did Jesus promise the Holy Spirit will guide you into? All truth. So if you read something in a book, in a magazine, online, or you hear something, no matter what the source is, if it's not true, the Holy Spirit's going to go, He may not give you every detail. We were in conference in Arkansas this past week, and one of the notes I wrote to myself is this. The Holy Spirit always reveals the truth. To someone who is simple-minded about the subject, he reveals it in simple terms. To someone who's complex, you know, if you're a physicist, he's going to talk to you like you're a physicist. He's not going to talk to me like that. I can't even hardly pronounce it. He's going to reveal truth to them in very complex terms that they understand, simple as pie to them. But to me, he's not going to try to get me to understand rocket science. But he is going to reveal truth to me. And he's going to reveal truth to you. And the way he's going to reveal it to me may not be exactly the same way he's going to reveal it to you, using the same words and the same things and the same insights. But he is going to reveal truth to you no matter how he has to do it. Back to Joseph. Because we sure don't want to leave him sitting there in trouble with the executioner coming home. Well, this woman is outright lying about the situation. She has made up a narrative that suits her purposes, and she is lying about it, but she's trying to accomplish a purpose. What she means for evil, God means for good. So Potiphar says this, I'm going to have Joseph thrown in prison. That would not be the normal punishment if your slave raped your wife or attempted to rape your wife, and you happen to be the executioner for the Pharaoh. You know what that tells me? It tells me that Potiphar didn't believe it. Because if he did, he would have killed him with his own hands right there on the spot. And that would have been the end of the story. But I'll tell you this for fact. That was not God's plan. That woman wanted to get him killed. But God said, I've got another plan. You may be trying to get him killed, but it's not going to work. Because no weapon formed against my child will prosper. The devil can plan all the plans he wants to plan. They are not going to succeed against you when you're living in the will of God. Did you catch that? That's a condition. When you're living in the will of God. Joseph was living in the will of God. He did not do any wickedness to get himself into that position of being sold as a slave. He didn't do any wickedness to get himself in the position of being accused. He was doing things right. He was living in the will of God. And bad things, or what seemed to be bad things, were coming into his life. But God always had a plan. Put Ephesians 1:11 up there. If you would, go to Ephesians 1:11. In him, we were also chosen. How many of you have been chosen by God? You know it. You know you are. You wouldn't be hearing me. There might be someone hearing me today and say, well, I don't even know where I stand with God. I don't know if I'm a Christian or I'm not a Christian. I can tell you this. I believe with every fiber of my being. If you're listening to my voice right now, you're chosen by God. Because if you weren't chosen by God, you wouldn't be hearing it. If the devil could kept you away from this truth, he certainly would have done it. Here's some real news for you. He ain't running things. He seems to be, and he is orchestrating a lot of things. The Bible calls him the God of this age, little g. But even though God is allowing some things to take place that you would look at them, I would look at them and go, that's not God. That's not God's agenda. You create a biological weapon in a laboratory and unleash it on humanity, and then create another biological weapon to try to contradict the first biological weapon and try to release that on humanity. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But what they mean for evil, God goes, listen, yes, they do mean it for evil. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But they're not calling all the shots. They may be calling for shots, but they're not calling all the shots. It's God's plan that prevails. So in him we were chosen, having been predestined. That means God has a destiny for your life. Having been predestined according to the plan of him, that's God, who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. Now there's some big words in there. Some of us sometimes don't use very big words. But it basically is saying this, in everything that's coming down the pike, good, bad, ugly, otherwise, you were chosen by God. And he has got a destiny for your life. And so here's what's happening. Romans 8:28 says it real simple. It says, we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. This scripture says the same thing, but it gives us a bigger plan. It's bigger than just me. It's bigger than just you. You and I are called and chosen, but we're called and chosen not just as an individual. You are called and loved and chosen as an individual. But you're also called and loved and chosen as a part of a body. The worldwide body of Jesus Christ. And you were chosen by him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of whose will? His will. So when things are happening, I need to know I'm chosen by God. And I have a destiny with God. And God has a plan for my life personally and for our lives as humans. How many know that if Satan could do it, he would exterminate the human race? You got to know he would. Because whose image are you created in? You're created in the image of God. If evolution is how life came to be for you and I, if we were evolved out of some primordial slime or something, some hydra in a water hole, they say that a man evolved from a monkey. Well, where's the monkey that's part man and the man that's part monkey? Where is the fossil evidence? And the answer is there isn't any. Because science itself proves that the whole thing is a lie. You see, why would they propagate such a lie? To get you to not believe God. Because if you quit believing in the creation account of the Bible, maybe you'll quit believing in John 3:16 also. It's Satan's attack on humanity. He wants you gone, but we're not going to be gone. We're created in the image of Almighty God.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
When Adam and Eve were put into this earth, were they put into this earth just go and be subject to the elements of the earth? No, he crowned them as a king and queen. He gave them all dominion to humans. And God put one little simple tree up in the middle of the garden and said, you're free to eat any of the rest of them, but don't eat that one, because in the day you do, you'll surely die. They ate it. They didn't fall down physically dead. But what happened? That power, that glory, that anointing on God departed from them, and they felt shame. They felt condemnation. The Bible says they realized they were naked and they went and hid from God. That tree was there for one purpose and one purpose only. As long as that fruit remained, they were under the authority of God, because they were obeying the one rule they had. They were under the authority of God. You know what makes anarchy and that school of thought so crazy? Is that they think they have authority, but the truth is you cannot have any authority unless you're under authority, because there is only one authority, and he is God, and you're not him, and you'll never be him. But we are God's beloved children, and we were crowned with glory and intended to rule over this earth. But even then, God knew he had a plan, didn't he? From the beginning, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was chosen to be our Savior. Jesus is not God's plan B. Amen. I want to get you thinking this way. I want to get you thinking that no matter how scary the news is you just heard, that it doesn't scare you at all. It's intended to scare you, because they know that fear motivates. But I'm going to tell you an antidote for fear: faith. Simple, childlike faith in the love and the goodness of God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So no matter what they try to do, no matter what agenda they float down at us, no matter what weapon they forge against us, it will not prosper. We're not unaware of the devil's schemes. We're children of the day. We can read God's word, and we have the greatest weapon of all, something that the devil could never account for. The spirit of truth was released by God himself to come and indwell us who are made in the image of God, that we might be like Jesus as we walk on this earth. Theology teaches these three things about God, these three attributes: that God is omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. There's nothing more powerful that can begin to even compare to the power of Almighty God. Well, the Bible also says that he is omnipresent. God can be everywhere at the same time. There's nothing going on that God's not right there aware of it. And that brings me to the third attribute of God. He's omniscient. And it means that God knows it all. Let me take it one level deeper. God not only knows it all, but realize this about your almighty, all-powerful, ever-present God. He never learns anything, because he already knows it. He is omniscient. He is the all-knowing God. He knows everything before it happens, while it's happening, after it happens. He knows it all. Without even thinking about the omniscience of God, years and years and years ago, the Holy Spirit dropped the truth bomb into my heart. How many know a bomb blows up stuff? And a truth bomb blows up lies. It blows up fear. Things would happen in my life, even though I was doing my best to live for God, things would happen in my life that really surprised me and shocked me and stunned me at times, and knocked the breath out of me at times. But the Holy Spirit dropped this truth bomb in me, and he said this. He goes, that doesn't surprise me. See, I told you, to simple people, he gives it simple. Something happened in my life. Oh, God, oh, how could this happen? He goes, this didn't surprise me at all. And you want to go, well, why didn't you do something about it? And he goes, oh, I did. I've already declared your victory before the weapon was ever formed. You have survived the attack. You're aware of the attack. I'm giving you strategies against the attack, and I declare to you, my child, you win. I wish I didn't have to fight. Well, wish away, but you do. You have to fight. But you win. Would you enter into the boxing ring with the world champion boxer if you were absolutely certain that you win? Do you realize the prize? Yes, sign me up. Now, if it's like, well, you're going in there and you're going to battle in your own strength. What? Against that? No, thank you. But me and God step in the ring? Yeah. You're it, God. Get him. Something comes in the mail, you know. You look at your checking account over here and you look at your mail over here and you go, hey, God, you got mail. God goes, oh, I knew that was coming. I've already got a plan in place for that. Well, guide me into all truth then, Lord. See, that needs to be our response. You hear something scary. It's intended to scare you, to provoke fear and to provoke chaos. So somebody who will appear to have your best interest in mind but doesn't can rise up and go, hey, we've got an answer for you. It's called communism and socialism. It's what they're trying to do to us. And God goes, I'll send the spirit of truth into my people, and he will guide them into all truth about all things at all times. Glory to God. It's important to know the season that you're living in. Remember that from Proverbs 10 where we started? It's important to know. The Holy Spirit's already informed you what season you're living in, unless you're just tuning him out. But this is not the season of fear. This is not the season of fear. This is not the season of sickness. This is a season of the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God that the earth has ever seen. And if you're asleep, you'll miss the harvest. You won't even know it. I heard people talking about revival, and I ain't seen it. Nope. You know, most people don't see a lot when they're asleep. We have to be awake, not woke. You know the difference of being asleep and being woke? If you're asleep, you can wake up and your eyes will pop open, and if you're woke, they sewed them shut. Because the last thing in the world they want you to see is the truth. But good news is we have the truth. Amen. Even if I don't even understand it, I don't even know about that. The Holy Spirit will still guide you into whatever truth by whatever means he has to work with you. So I only got a third grade education. The Holy Spirit will deal with your education level. I promise you that. The hard ones to reach, probably the ones that are overeducated. Now, he's going to have us play a part in it, army of the Lord. But we don't have to figure it all out. We just need to be obedient. I want to give you one quick scripture as we close. It's Psalms 2, verse 1 through 3, I think. Psalm 2, verse 1, right here to start with. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth. Now, those don't have to necessarily be kings like, well, these are king of England. Well, he might be the king of media. He might be the king of commerce. He might be the king of sports. Kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together. They have summits. They have them like World Economic Forum. They have all kinds of summits and conferences and even sometimes secret meetings that nowadays are not quite as secret as they used to be. But these people who call themselves or like to think of themselves as being elite, God says they're the prideful, because pride comes before the fall, and they are going to fall. You see, how do you know they're going to fall? They're so powerful, they're so rich, they're so influential, they're so this, they're so that, they're so deep. The state is so deep. The state is very shallow compared to the depth of God. Kings of the earth take their stand, and rulers gather together against the Lord. Who is the Lord? Jesus. His name is Jesus. But they are conspiring against and trying to take a stand against Jesus. Whoever it is that the psalmist is looking forward to and prophesying about, they've become so deceived that they literally believe that they can defeat Jesus. You see, they might promote a godless socialism. They might present themselves as godless communists, but in reality, they believe they just don't want you to. They know about the spiritual world. They just don't want you to know. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. That means the Christ. That means Jesus. But watch this, verse 3. Let us break off their chains. They don't want anything to do with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's break off their chains, they say. Let's throw off their fetters. That's shackles. But the one enthroned in heaven, how's God feel about their devilish plot? Is he scared? Is God up there in heaven just shaking in his shoes because he's left us, got a big plan to destroy America and the world? Is he up there just shaking in his shoes because the church was told they couldn't meet and da 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 and all this stuff? Are they shaking in their shoes? Is God shaking in his shoes? No, he is not. They're like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to unleash this thing, we're going to do that, we're going to set them all up, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And God goes, ha, 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 you're going to get what you deserve. Watch this. The Lord scoffs at them, he laughs at them, and then he rebukes them in his anger, and he terrifies them with his wrath. He's going ha, ha, ha right now, but there's going to come a day when he's done laughing and takes action. They're going to get what they deserve. That ought to be enough, ain't it? You can go read around it. You can go other places. Go read the story of Joseph. But here's the thing I want you to take away from today more than everything else. It doesn't matter what the world tries to do or the new world tries to do or whatever else or any label. Because we have the book. We have the owner's manual. That from the beginning to the end, God has seen it all. And nothing has ever surprised him and nothing ever going to surprise him. Nothing's ever overcame God. Nothing's ever going to overcome God. Come on, he is Almighty God. Amen. Now, when the enemy tries to scare you, put fear in his place. Hold up your shield of faith. You know what truth always does? Truth always dispels fear. The Holy Spirit will never use fear to try to lead you. I want you to latch on to this because this is a good nugget right here. The Holy Spirit will never use any form of fear to try to get you to do the will of God. And the enemy will never use anything that doesn't involve fear. How can I discern if this is from God? Does it promote faith, hope, draw you to love, or does it provoke fear in you? If it provokes fear, it ain't from God. If it provokes fear, it's not the truth. Because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. He didn't say the truth will make you afraid. Amen. Some people, if they're dealing with their fear, you know how they're dealing with it? By burying their head in the sand. They go, the voting system's so corrupt, it don't make no difference. I'm not going to even vote. You know what? They're burying their head in the sand. To not vote is to vote. To not take action is to take action. If you were a born-again Christian in Germany in the late 30s and 40s, and you were there and the Jews were being hauled by you on the cattle cars, and inside those cattle cars, those Jews were crying out, help us, help us. And you stood there and you just prayed louder. If no one would have rose up against Hitler in that day, his regime, his right, would still be murdering people today. But good people took action inspired by a good God and rose up against evil. And you and I are called into such a time as this. We also, I'm not asking you to go buy a gun, because the enemy we're fighting, you couldn't hit with a bullet anyway. We're in a war, but it's a spiritual war, first and foremost. It is a spiritual war. So we fight the good fight by taking the weapons of our warfare, which are not earth weapons, but spirit weapons, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We take the name of Jesus and we pull it down. That's a power in Jesus' name. Isn't just enough for us to know that God has got it and God's got us? Should be. What action would you have me to take? I believe this with all my heart. God wants your voice. He wants you talking to your neighbors and to your friends about you don't have to be afraid. God's working. Put your faith in Jesus. On the night Jesus was going to be betrayed and face crucifixion the next morning, he told those guys that left everything to follow him. You know what he said? John 14:1, he goes, don't let your heart be troubled. You know what? They were going to see him arrested and then crucified. He goes, don't get worried about it. Really? Yeah, really. It's all part of the plan. God's working everything out in conformity to his plan and purpose. Okay. Do you believe it? Say okay. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.